It's a really special privilege to welcome Charles Sandifer, Pastor Charles Sandifer, to our Congress and conference and as a plenary speaker. You know, I grew up having an older brother, and wherever I went, I was John's brother. And Health Ministries has a brother in the world, and that's ADRA. And wherever we go, they say, well, where is ADRA today? You know, so we have an accountability to you, and you to us. And as we travel through the backwaters of Africa and in Asia, it is so rewarding to see this water is secured by ADRA. ADRA has worked in 120 countries actively right now. Charles Sandifer has been the president and CEO of this vibrant organization for 7 years. I don't need to tell you what kind of speaker he is. You'll hear that for yourself. But he is passionate. He is focused. He is articulate. And today he's going to share with us how non-government organizations can work together as agents in primary care. Thank you so much.
If you'll turn to the person next to you and say to them, you look really healthy for your age. At the deepest level of our hearts, we ache for each other. We ache for love. We ache for health. We ache for justice. We ache for God. And maybe it would be well, maybe it would be healthy for us to admit that more often to each other. For us to make sure that the arc of our love and the arc of our hearts bends with God towards the poor, towards justice, towards health. It's a privilege to be with you for a few minutes. I'm going to talk about the role of NGOs, but I want to weave with that the role of my church in the activity and the arc of social justice. The church could not be the church without the Ministry of Catholic Relief Services. The church could not be the church without World Vision. The church could not be the church without Church World Service. The Adventist church could not be the church without the Adventist Development and Relief Agency. We are the last birthed baby of the Adventist Church. We are the love child. 125 years ago, Adventist hospitals were spawned and sponsored. 125 years ago, Adventist educational institutions came into existence. We're just celebrating our 25th anniversary this fall. We've now been here barely an adult life. It is a sign and a signal of this church's commitment to development and to sustainability as part of the arc of God's love. There are hundreds of hospitals, thousands of schools, 100,000 congregations in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. There is only one development agency, ADRA. And so sometimes we feel a little orphaned. And the work we do is complex like the work you do. In the last year, we have sponsored food programs that have done the equivalent of 200 million meals. We are large. We have more breadth and more scope than any other faith-based NGO in the world. Why? Because we arise out of the soil of a global Seventh-day Adventist church. Without the Adventist Church, we would not exist. And those 200 million meals speaks to the complexity with which we do our work. Some of those 200 million meals are soup kitchens and handouts and welfare programs. Some of them are feeding programs to IDPs and refugees. Some of them are food for work programs. And in some of those 200 million meals, we sell the food to create markets in local communities and use those funds to do agricultural training and to help farmers move from subsistence farming in order to be able to go to market. The work we do is complex, and it is the call of the church to be committed to those acts, not as random acts of kindness, but intentional commitments to social justice and equity in this world, because it is God's world. I want to make three or four observations and then a couple, three recommendations. I just want to give the perspective as someone living inside an NGO, a non-government organization that is defined by its humanitarian work, both in development and relief, kind of our perspective. I want to run through this really very quickly. One is just the role of poverty and the significance of poverty in this world. You have heard so many speeches already, seen so much data. May I allow my amen to that. The number one health crisis in this world is poverty. It is the marker that stalks everything else. The world is complex. The social determinants, as we learned yesterday, are complex. But the one marker that stalks, look at the Human Development Index and that bushel basket of things that are defined as development. The one that stalks is poverty. Why? It's because brutal poverty, not the poverty of your children, not the poverty of students, not the poverty of denominational wages, okay, but brutal poverty, the less than dollar a day poverty, blunts human well-being. You don't read, you don't go to school, you worry about tomorrow's meal, you don't have a pension plan, your children die early, you drink impure water. There is social disruption. Families are not kept intact. There is extraordinary amount of mental health issues. We die young. We lose our freedom. Extreme poverty is brutal. My friend Gil Burnham came back from Afghanistan and said he had met with some women, and they tried to get those women to define their future. They were doing the process of appreciative inquiry, and found out that those women could only think 5 days ahead. Their dreams for their children was that they would have food tomorrow. Their dreams for themselves is that their husbands would be safe tomorrow. Their world had shrunk, and that is the brutality and the violence of extreme poverty, that the horizon of hope becomes so small. And that is why poverty alleviation is a challenge to this church and to this world. I want to make an observation about civil society. It is the new buzz phrase of the era. If sustainability was the word of the 80s and the 90s, now it's about civil society. Have you noticed that everyone now loves Seventh-day Adventists? You know, and it makes us proud. We love to hear people come and talk about us. You know, we feel good when people come and talk about us, and they should, because one of the things that we have to offer is that we are a key component of civil society. This is a different way of viewing our role. Now that we are 100,000 congregations strong and 10,000 schools and 1,000 hospitals, we have a network. And the World Health Organization is not in love with our faith. They're in love with their organization. It is not the faith faith-based organization. It is the faith-based organization. We provide a dense, thick network of trust and gluing of human society that provides tremendous opportunity to send out message points, to do distribution, to talk about issues of social justice. That is why Ban Ki-moon wants to meet with me. That is why heads of state want to meet with you. Because Adventists and other faith organizations are now viewed as offering something extraordinary. A network of congregations that are based upon trust, that are even organized. I talked to one of the leaders of AusAid and said, you know, we just were dismissive. We had a bias against faith organizations. We didn't want anything to do with their faith. Still don't. But now we realize that in countries like Papua New Guinea, you cannot talk about the existence of society without talking about religious communities. Religious communities are where social gluing takes place. They are pathways and conduits and linkages to being involved in the world. We have tremendous opportunity, and it has created an obligation for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It is one of the great unintended consequences of our church growth, that we now offer an incredible network of participation and outreach to communities and pathways for commitments to issues of social justice. Gene Duff, who talked to us on Monday, mentioned that ADRA was participating in Together Against Malaria program in Mozambique. That is where ADRA and the Seventh-day Adventist Church has taken advantage of its network of congregations, joined partnership with other congregations from other faith communities, and now thousands of synagogues and mosques and local churches are becoming locations for which talking points about being against malaria take place. Not distributing nets, there's distribution systems that already exist, but the power of pastors and leaders of faith to talk about malaria is a transforming experience. And ADRA looks forward to more of those kinds of partnerships. MDGs. Talk about MDGs for a minute. If you didn't know what MDGs were before you came, you cannot leave this place. You know your HDLs and your LDLs. Do you know your MDGs? Do you know how interactive those MDGs are with your ministry of health in this world? We avoid the MDGs as markers and as goals and of defining parameters for our work at our peril. We've had a tendency to view ourselves as asteroids wandering randomly through the universe. Use the MDGs as reference points for the work you do. They will bring you back into the moral solar system and make you coherent with the rest of the world. They will increase your effectiveness. They will give you focus. By the way, I tried yesterday to call my doctor to get my blood panel scores on my HDLs and LDLs. So we live in two worlds, MDGs, social justice, LDLs, personal health. These are not in conflict with each other. They're not contradictions. Did you know that the church has taken a stand on MDGs? Did you know that? The Strategic Planning Committee of the General Conference set up a group of people to look at priorities and issues in Adventist mission. And do you know what the fifth platform piece was? That the Seventh-day Adventist Church, listen to this, the Seventh-day Adventist Church should effectively advocate and engage in community and global issues such as education, Niels Erik Andreasen, health, That's us. Poverty alleviation? That's us. Religious liberty. Acceptance and promotion of the Millennium Development Goals as the context for Seventh-day Adventist global initiatives. That's my church. That's me. That's many of you. And other churches have taken a stand. This is ammunition. We use ammunition. We're peaceful and nonviolent, but we use ammunition in ADRA. This is ammunition and reinforcement. Have you read the churches, the Seventh-day Adventist Church's mission statement lately? In one sentence, this is why you and I have to keep talking, okay? In one sentence, affirming the biblical emphasis on the well-being of the whole person, we make the preservation of health, this conference, the healing of the sick, this conference, a priority through our ministry to the poor and oppressed. My ADRA, our church. You see, we're linked in the same sentence of the church's mission statement. That is why we need to partner more together. My fourth observation is about our church's missiology and its theology, and I speak as a Seventh-day Adventist to my Seventh-day Adventist brothers and sisters. God invented justice. God invented social justice. And when we do the work we do, when we run a lifestyle seminar, when we do community-based development and create sustainable and transforming change in people's lives, it is not an opportunity for us to witness to the gospel. It is the gospel. It is a witness. These are not opportunities for us to share. They are evils that we have to stop. Now, that is the call. That is the call of my church and of my brothers and sisters. When women experience sexual violence, when children die of waterborne diseases, it is always wrong. And we participate with God in fixing those wrongs. It makes God sad. But my colleagues, it ought to make us mad. We need a little more anger in this church at evil and when things go wrong. We ought not to hide behind sentimentality and warm thoughts. We ought to be angry at what happens in this world and the people who suffer injustice and inequality. It is God's vision for this world, that this world be equal, that there be God's shalom of peace. And you and I are agents of that justice and of that love. And we do this for no other reason. We do not do it for public relations. We do not do it as a prologue to the gospel. We do not do it because it makes us look good or famous or proud. We do it because it is the right thing to do. And that is why we do this. I have two recommendations, maybe five. One, ADRA and health ministries need to partner together more. We both have incredible gifts to offer to the witness to God's justice in this world. ADRA is not our hospital system. Glad there's representation here. ADRA is not our educational system. ADRA is not the congregational life of this church. ADRA is not health ministries. ADRA is a development agency. It participates in the economy of God's salvation by offering expertise and participation in the world of community development. That's our skill. We sing tenor, not bass. Know your role. Know your place in the economy of God's world. ADRA wants to partner. We know it's complicated. If it just took another 100 declarations and 1,000 lifestyle seminars and 1 billion vegans, you know, we would not have these issues anymore. We know it's complicated. We know, though, that we can partner together and that we can make a larger difference in this world. What ADRA offers is access to the world of community development and to bilateral relationships with governments. 95% of our funding comes from the public sector. Only 5% of our funding comes from the church. We know how to access and to create linkages with governments and other agencies. We know how to bring a level of excellence and rigor to what we do. The words monitoring and evaluation and qualitative and quantitative research are just kind of like highs and how are yous inside my world. We can bring new levels of accountability to make sure that what we do is not just the product of good intentions, but wanting to make a difference in this world. I'm not going to launch it right now, but I'm going to give you a sneak preview. And that is, ADRA has been working and dialoguing, meeting with women's ministries at the General Conference, and we will be launching an initiative against violence against women that will be a global witness of this church against that evil. It will be a partnership. It will be a partnership between women's ministries of the Seventh-day Adventist Church and ADRA of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. We need to partner together more. Secondly, we need to advocate together. It is time, brothers and sisters, that we speak more loudly in this world. It is time for us to speak to arenas of public policy. It is time for us no longer to have the fear of insecurity that leads to withdrawal, but the humility that leads to active engagement at the public sectors of this world. We have something to say, and let's say it loudly. We need to be not just implementers, we also need to be advocates. It is time for us to speak more boldly on issues of social justice. I know the fear factor. The fear factor is that we'll be accused of being engaged in politics. Don't let secular society define politics and squeeze us out of our game. These are our mission message points, that God is a God of love and justice, that He cares deeply for humankind, and that we are large and we will not be silent. Why do we do this? Gerald Winslow is going to talk to us tomorrow about how the grounding of the ministry we do is rooted in Scripture. May I add just this asterisk? We start in Genesis with a God who flings worlds into existence with mere words and says that we are created in His image, and therefore it is the value of human life. God Himself deepens that in the Gospels. And besides calling us to compassion, He says that when we meet our weaker brother, our weaker sister, we have met Jesus Christ Himself. And then we go to Revelation. We start in a garden, we end in a city. And there is a picture in which there will be God's peace, and we live out that vision now. Because in the New Jerusalem, there is plenty of food for everyone, we work towards nutrition and food for everyone now. Because in the New Jerusalem, there's a river flowing with pure water, we work for clean and pure water now. Because of the New Jerusalem, there is no illness. We combat illness now. Because of the New Jerusalem, when we turn to each other and say, "My, you look well for your age," it will be true. Because in the New Jerusalem, God will reign. We must let God reign now. You and I are called to be ministers of justice. We are not asked to be messiahs. We are not asked to be gods. We are asked to be his humble servants. May God give justice to our health, and may God help us to witness to healthy justice. Thank you.